Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me.
Guys, on praise the Lord, everybody. I praise God for being with you guys on today. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, and we are live on the Spirit Alive Network on today. I'm so happy and so blessed to be with you on this Saturday afternoon, and we are going to have a powerful, powerful show on today, and I think it's very, very necessary. The Lord had been dealing with me on the topic on today. And it's very, very necessary that we discuss the topic on today. First off, I want to give glory and honor to God, who is the head of my life, giving honor to my wife, and if she's listening, amen, I thank God for her and my children. Bishop Cook, we thank God for you allowing us to come. Another weekend to bring forth the Word of God on this show on today. We also want to thank God for all of our listeners that listen every single week. I know it's been a, back and forth type of thing lately since we're still going through the pandemic. We've heard a lot in the news about what's going on. We've seen the debates, and we just got a news report this week about our President Donald Trump. We all know that he was tested positive for the coronavirus. So the Lord had dealt with me with the topic on today. And the topic is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. And you might say, well, I know where this is going, that you're going to teach a lesson on praying for our president. That's not what we're talking about today, even though that is in there. But this is not what this topic is all about. But it did, the Lord did deal with me on the power of prayer after I heard about this, because even though we know that our president has done some things and a lot of things in these 4 years, and he hasn't been honest with us as the American people would like him to be. But on the flip side of that, the Bible tells us that we have to pray, whether we like it or whether we don't, that we have to pray for our leaders. He is the leader of the free world, whether you voted for him or whether you didn't, whether you like him or whether you don't. Me personally, I did not, I'm just going to be honest, I did not vote for him in 2016. But the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. So I have to, and along with others, we have to pray for our president. We have to pray for our political leaders, our spiritual leaders as well. But in this lesson, we are talking about the power of prayer. And we're going to start with something that I like to do. What is prayer? Why is it necessary? This is the question. Why is prayer necessary for our lives? Why should we pray? When should we pray? The Bible tells us that we should pray without ceasing. And I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians. It tells us that we should pray without ceasing. We should always, man, the Bible says that man should always pray. Amen. We should always pray. We should always be willing to pray for ourselves, for other people, for things that are going on in the world, because it is the power of the prayer that breaks down barriers, that breaks chains, that breaks the yoke, that destroys, in content, it is prayer that helps destroy the yoke. Whatever you're going through in your life, you have to, whether it's good or it's bad, we must continue to pray. We all have something that we could pray for. I know the Bible talks about prayer and supplication. There are many different ways to pray. Some people think, and I'm not going to say a lot of people, but some people think that there is only one way to pray, and that's not true. When it all boils down to is using prayer, using your prayer. You should have every person that is a believer, that has a walk with God, that has a relationship with Him, that walks with Him, that talks with Him, should have a prayer life. Amen? Everyone should have a prayer life. Everybody. And the reason why I say that is because we, with prayer, that is your communication with the Lord. Prayer is not hard. Prayer is never hard to do. And I say that with very, very much a stamp of approval on that. Prayer is not hard to do. There are many ways to pray. We can lay prostrated before the Lord. We can pray in our heavenly language. We can pray in English or whatever dialect, whatever nationality you might be. You might speak Spanish. You can pray in Spanish. You might be a Jew. You might want to pray the Jewish way. But out of all of that, it all comes back together to praying, called praying amiss. When you're praying against somebody, and this is the example right here. Lord, you know he did that to me. Lord, you know she did that to me. Get her, Lord. Get her. Get him. No, that's praying amiss. And God is not going to answer your prayer. He is not a get-me God. He is a loving God. But we know that the Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Now, in the whole Bible, throughout the whole Bible, we see that many people throughout the whole Bible had communication with God. Amen. They had communication with God, and that's all prayer is communication with the Lord. Just like you talk to your mother, your father, even your spouse. And I give this example, you can't have a good marriage without communication with your spouse. You can't. It cannot be done. Your marriage is doomed to failure if you don't have communication in your marriage. And I'm going to use this. Your relationship with God is doomed to failure if you do not have communication with the Lord. And that is not saying I only communicate with Him when I want something. I can only communicate with Him just telling Him what I want. No, it doesn't work that way. Communication with God is He communes with you and you commune with Him. The Bible in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33 says, "But ye seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." There was there is a lot of people that are in their walk with Christ, are not walking the way they should be. They want the blessing, but they don't want the work. They want the blessing. I'm going to say it again. They want the blessing, but they don't want the work. They don't want to put in the work. And the Bible clearly tells us that faith without works is dead. Now, do we work for salvation? No. Do we work for blessings? No. But there are stipulations on some of our blessings. Amen? When we seek his face, going in prayer, we must be humble when we go to him. We can't just go to him any kind of way. You can't come, and this is a good example. You can't come before the Queen of England any kind of way. And this is an earthly aspect now. I'm using the earthly aspect because I'm trying to open everybody's mind to what's being said. If you're in England, if you want to go visit the Queen of England, you can't just come any kind of way. You can't even come, like some people, you can't even come before the President of the United States any kind of way. You can't come before authority figures any kind of way. Amen? And that's the same thing with the Lord, and that's the same thing with prayer. We can't just go into, oh, Lord, I want this. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want this. I need this over here being done, Lord, like he's a Santa Claus. And a lot of people, they treat God like Santa Claus, and God ain't no Santa Claus. He is not wearing a red suit, red and white suit, coming down no chimney, giving out gifts. He's not. He's not that way. He's not that type of God. Why do we need prayer in our lives? This question came before me, before the show started. Why do we need prayer in our lives? Number one, we need prayer in our lives to bring our cares to him. If you don't believe me, look at Psalms 55, verse 22. And I'm going to go there real quick, and I'm going to read it to you. Because I want you to understand anything that is said on this show, anything that's said on this show, we have scripture to back it up. To bring our cares to him, that's one reason why we need prayer, communication with God. And I'm going to read this verse to you just to show the people that are listening, the listeners, just to show you. And it says, cast thy burden upon thee, upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. This is casting your burdens. He said, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, bringing your cares to him. You have to communicate in prayer to bring your, you might say, well, he already knows about my, but sometimes the Lord wants you to communicate with him. He wants you to be able to tell him. That's why when he died, before he died, there was a split between man and God. There was a split because of the sins of mankind. Sin cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So when Jesus died and took all of our sins to the cross, it now brought us back to God. And now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. But before that, we couldn't come boldly to the throne of grace because we had sin, but sin was paid. The sin that kept us from coming boldly to the throne. When Jesus died, that sin debt was paid, and now we can come boldly to the throne. We can come boldly to the throne now. This is the communication. This is why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You can come boldly to the throne. You can come asking him, praying to him. You can come boldly to him. He wants you to. That's why he died. If he didn't want us coming to him, he wouldn't say, come boldly. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. He wouldn't have told us that. So that's one reason. Another reason is to keep our relationship with God. This is found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And I'll read that to you just real quick. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It reads, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. This is another reason why we need, this is another reason why we need to pray. This is another reason. So that when he talks to us, this is his communication. It says when you hear his voice, that's him communicating with us. That's our communication with him. He tells us how to move, how to navigate through life. This is what prayer does. This is what the power of prayer does. And I'm just bringing out a few couple points on why it's needed in our lives. The third point is because so that the Lord can help us in the battles of our lives. If we go to Judges chapter number 7, verses 2 through 9, we'll read, and I'm not going to read that whole verse, but it talks about Gideon. And Gideon's army getting a word from the Lord, Gideon seeking the Lord, and the Lord telling him what to do to overthrow the Midianite army. He talked to God. He communed with God. And God showed him what to do. He showed him. We all know the story. What he told him to do. This is communication. This is the reason why we need to pray. I'm gonna give you some scenarios on what prayer brings. One of the things that prayer brings is healing. Prayer brings healing through every area of our life. Prayer brings healing. If we go to James chapter number 5, verses 14 and 15, it lets us know that prayer brings healing in our life. It brings the healing that we need to go through the battle, through the battles of life, to go through understand the cares of life, to understand. And you know what? Sometimes when we're going through things, we don't understand why we're going through. Sometimes we ask God, why am I going through this, Lord? Why am I doing this? Why is this happening to me? Why not us? Why not us? First of all, why not us? Second of all, it lets us know that even asking God why, not doubting, but asking God why, that is patience. That is a prayer. You're asking him, why? Why am I going through this? It's okay to ask God why you're going through it, as long as you're not doubting and praying amiss. As long as you're not doing that, then you're all right. It's okay to ask God why. Sometimes he answers. Sometimes he doesn't. I know that for a fact. I've been there. I've been there and done that. Seriously. when I went through, and just to give you an example of me saying that, when I went through my heart problem in 2005, the start of it, anyways, when I first turned 18, I was asking God why. At first, I was asking God why. And I got no answer. Sometimes God does not always answer our prayers when we would like him to answer them. Some of us have been praying for weeks, months, years. But if we stay at the throne of God, if we stay in prayer, that's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. We can't stop praying. Just because we don't see the results right then does not mean that the Lord does not hear us, does not mean that the Lord does not hear you. He hears you. He's trying to get something out of us. He's trying to build up our faith. See, I've said this before, and this was not in my notes. I've said this before. When we pray and we don't get an answer right then and there like we want to, sometimes God is trying to either pull something out of us, trying to build us up, or trying to show his glory through your life to somebody else. One of the three. Either he's trying to break something down out of you, trying to build your faith, trying to build you up, or trying to use your life for his glory so that somebody else might see you going through. And if you go through as a strong soldier, and they see you going through and they see you not complaining and they see you not going down. They see you not ready to just go off on somebody. See you not ready to lash out at somebody. They see you, but they see you in constantly reading the Word of God, fasting, praying, and seeking him, knowing in the back of your mind that he can do everything but fail, that God can do anything but fail. But that's where we need to be. We have to be this way. We must be this way. Because if we're not, our life with God is going to, our walk with Christ will be so tedious. If we didn't have prayer in our life, do you not understand? If we did not have prayer in our life, in our lifestyle, if prayer does not become a lifestyle, we can get so messed up in our walk with Christ, in our life, without prayer. Because that is our communication with the Lord. We must pray at all times. Now, I'm not saying every time you open your mouth, it has to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But sometimes take some time out. Take some time out. Just to listen to the voice of the Lord. Take some time out just to lay prostrated before him. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing just to lay prostrated before him. If you don't know what the word prostrated means, it means laying on your face. Laying down on your face. And sometimes in those moments of prayer and supplication, those prayers, you know, sometimes we ask so much of God, but we never sit and stop and see what God wants from us. Sometimes in prayer, we need to see what God wants from us. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to do? How do you want me to be effective in my day? What do you want me to do? This your day, Lord. What do you want me to do? You want me to go witness to somebody? Do you want me to go feed somebody? Do you want me to go minister to somebody? Do you want me to What do you want me to do? That's what a relationship with Christ is. It's give and take. But some of us in our walk with Christ, we want the Lord to give everything. We want the Lord to give, and we don't want to give. Some of us, I ain't going to say all, but some of us need to take the time out. And look, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. I'm sorry. I'm about to step on some toes. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. If we can have all the time in the world to go our jobs, our schools, have time for our careers, we have time for family, we have time for our wife, husbands, children, and all of that, we should have time to talk to the Lord. And the reason why I say that is because somebody, I ain't going to say no names, tell me one time, and this was about going to church. This is when before the coronavirus, this is a couple of years, five or six years ago. And I was dealing with this individual, and this individual told me, you know, we were going to go to church. And the individual said, well, I just got off from work and I'm tired and all of this stuff, and I'm going to take a break. And unbeknownst to me, I'm like, wait a minute, in my head, because they were, you know, I was still respectful. They were older than me. They were older than me by age, and they were older than me in their walk with Christ. So I respected them. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, wait a minute. You've been saved longer than me, and you're having a problem going to church. And second, the Lord didn't make you tired on that job. You made yourself tired by staying there as long as you did. And then on top of that, the Lord blessed you with the job, but yet you say you can't go to church because of the job that the Lord blessed you with. That's why I say sometimes the Lord does not answer our prayers or give us blessings when we think we need them. Because sometimes we can be so comfortable in the blessing that we forget the person that blessed us. We can forget the person that blessed us. We can forget. But I'm going to go here. Prayer brings healing. This is in James. We're going to read James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And I know it's quiet, and I'm not hollering and, you know, all of that, speaking in tongues and all that stuff, which is good. And we're going to get into that. But I want you guys to understand, I want the listeners, all of our listeners, to understand what the true meaning of the meaning of the power of prayer is. And so it's good to jump and shout. It's good to, you know, all of that. But sometimes it's good to just get the core meat of the Word of God. And this is that. But prayer brings healing. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. James chapter 5, verse 14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Prayer brings healing. Prayer brings healing. We must understand that prayer works wonders for our life. This is why we need it. This is why we need prayer in our life. This is why we need prayer. Also need prayer for spiritual warfare. We need prayer for spiritual warfare. If we look at Mark chapter number 5, verse 8, we'll see that prayer works wonders in spiritual warfare. If you don't believe me, then we'll go to Mark chapter 5, verse 8. Mark chapter 5, verse 8, and I'll read that in y'all's hearing, because I want you to understand, like I said before, want you to understand this, that we need this. We need prayer in everything that we're dealing with right now. We need prayer, and we need the power of prayer to work. Amen. 5, verse number 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. This is where Jesus was casting out demons out of a man. Jesus was casting out demons. Spiritual warfare, you might have to, you look, Jesus was not, he wasn't on both sides of the fence when he was casting out demons. He was forceful with it. He was serious. And when you're in spiritual warfare, you have to be serious. This is what prayer is. It's for spiritual warfare as well. You warfaring for somebody else. You got your family got issues. Pray over those issues. You may not see the results of it yet, but still continue to pray. Go in warfare for them. Because some people don't know how to war against the enemy. Some people think they do, but some people don't. The church. Amen? Some people think they do, and they really don't. But if we warfare, then this is the reason why I say this all the time on this show and on my podcast. I say this all the time. Some of the reason why this country and this world is so messed up is because it ain't just because of prophecy. It ain't, it ain't just because of prophecy. Some of this stuff that is going on in this world today is not just because of biblical prophecy. Yes, prophecy is supposed to come to pass, and yes, we have all that. Yes, that's supposed to happen. We know that we are living in the last days. Yes, we know. The Bible says it, and I'm not taking away from that. I'm not taking away from that. So I'm not saying that prophecy is wrong and what God said in the last days that there should be a great falling away and all that stuff. I'm not speaking against that. But what I am saying is that some of this stuff that's going on is because the church is not praying enough. We're not praying enough. And when I say the church, I mean me and everybody else that has a walk, that has a relationship with Christ. If you calling yourself saved, and you too, all of us, we can pray more. That's why I said we can put all our time into asking God for things, but we can't take the time out to warfare for somebody else. We can't take the time out to warfare for a nation. We can't take the time out to warfare for our children. This is what the power of prayer is. We must do this on a consistent basis. We must be in prayer. And look, let me tell you something. Let me say this. You don't always have to pray in English, or you don't always have to pray in Spanish or whatever. Whoever's listening to us, whether you pray in a foreign language or whether you pray in English, don't matter. Don't, and I'm saying this to everybody, don't always pray in English. For the English-speaking people that are listening to me now, for the Spanish people speaking to me now, and this is the reason why I say it, I'm about to show you the reason why I'm saying this. Don't always pray in your native language. If it be English, don't always pray in English. If it's Spanish, don't always pray in Spanish. If it's whatever, don't always pray in that. The reason why I say that is because of this. Let me give you an example. If you pray in English, I'm going to give you two examples on the reason why you shouldn't always pray in English. Number one, you shouldn't always pray in English because sometimes you should pray in your heavenly language. That's number one. Number two, the reason why you should pray in your heavenly language is because you will sometimes go into deep intercession for other people. Sometimes the Spirit will make intercession for you, and then you'll be praying for people that you don't even know. Because the Spirit is making intercession. When you go into deep, deep prayer, you now are tapping into the Spirit of Christ. You are now tapping into another realm of Christ that now the Spirit is making intercession for you, and now the Spirit is praying, not you. It's no longer you. It's now the Spirit praying through you. That's the first reason. The second reason is the reason why you should not always pray in English for the English folk or Spanish or whatever. The reason why you should not always pray in your native tongue is because, and I'm going to use this example. I'm going to use two examples on the reason why I'm saying this. Yes, God hears you. Yes, God hears you when you do that. And you might say, well, doesn't God hear me when I do it? Yes, he does. So the devil hears you. The devil hears you too. Amen? The devil hears you just as well as God hears you if you pray in English or if you pray in Spanish. Well, if I pray in Spanish, he won't know what I'm... Yes, the devil, just as well as God is not crazy, the devil ain't crazy either. All right? But if you pray, and I'm going to give you this example. I'm going to give you this example. One of my relatives, I'm going to give you two examples. One of my relatives, two of my relatives, my father was talking to one of my relatives one time and was talking about receiving the Holy Ghost and all of that stuff. And they said, you know, I know I'm saved because I prayed to God to wake me up at a certain time. And I woke up at that time. And my father asked that relative, okay, did you pray in English? The relative said, yes, I did. And he began to tell our relative that, hey, don't you know that when you pray to the Lord heard you, but also the devil heard you too. And the devil will make it any type of way he can to get you up at that time. That's the first example. The devil hears you. The second example, the reason why we need to pray in our heavenly language is because like this. When you pray in your heavenly language, the devil does not understand you. Okay? The devil does not understand your communication with God. I'll give you a prime example. If I am speaking English, standing out talking to two people that speak fluent Spanish, obviously, and I don't know a lick of Spanish, And I'm just using this as an example. If I don't know a lick of Spanish, and I'm talking to two people that speak fluent Spanish, do you really think I'm going to understand what they're saying? And I don't know a lick of Spanish. The two people that know it are going to have a good old time because they're going to know that they're going to be talking, they're going to be conversating or whatever. I ain't going to know nothing about what they're saying. Or vice versa. If two people speak in English and a person that's speaking Spanish don't know a lick of English, but they know Spanish, they ain't going to know what I'm saying. They ain't going to know what me and that person are saying. Same thing with the Lord. Same thing with the devil. This is why we need this when we pray in our heavenly language. Pray in our heavenly language. Amen. With prayer and the Holy Ghost, we have power to speak over things. We have the power to speak over things. Amen. And this is, and what I'm talking about here, in Proverbs, it says the power of life and death lie in the power of the tongue. Amen. Whatever you speak, that's what it's going to be. Amen. I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We're coming to the end of this. And I told you at the beginning that this lesson was not about our president and praying for our president and stuff like that. But I heard a radio DJ ask people to call in, and I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to go into what I'm talking about right now. I heard a local radio DJ here in Indianapolis ask people to call in and ask about praying for Donald Trump. And some people said yes, and some people said no. Some people said yes, some people said no. Well, I'm here to tell you, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get the answer for that in a minute. I'm going to get, whether you like him or you don't, I'm going to give you the answer to that question in a minute. But if we go to Mark chapter 11, because time is getting away from us, Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. It reads, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them." Now, I'm going to read that verse again. I'm going to read this verse again. I'm going to read that part right there. "I say unto you," this is Jesus talking, "what things soever ye desire, when ye pray," that's the stipulation, "when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." It didn't say, don't pray and just sit there and just hope. Now, hope is a good thing. I'm not taking away hope. But just sit there and, oh, well, I'm not going to say anything. The Lord knows what I need. I'm just going to let him fight the battle. No, the Lord's telling us to pray. Amen? Amen? If you don't think that this word is still, let me, you still don't believe me in the power of prayer on this topic on today, let me take you to another scripture. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse 14, real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And this sums it all up. This sums up this lesson. This sums up the topic today. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 14. And this will sum up everything. This will sum up everything right here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, that's the stipulation. This is the stipulation. If my people, we're talking about the church, everybody that says they are a believer, everybody that says they have a walk, a relationship with God, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, you have to come to the realization and say, wait a minute, I need to talk to God, I need to talk to the Lord, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Same thing that Matthew said. The Old Testament backed up the New Testament right there, y'all. This right here backed up Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But ye seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is what backs this up. It says, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear, his ear is open, hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That's why we said earlier, some of the things that is going on is not just based off of prophecy. Some of the things that are going on in this world that is wrong is because the saints are not praying enough. The saints are not praying enough. There, we just read it. You just heard it word for word. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, we have to humble ourselves before we go into prayer. A lot of prayers are going up to the ceiling and they're coming right back down because we are not humbling ourselves. We're not humbling ourselves unto God. We're using God as a Santa Claus. We're telling God we want this, we want that. We're not praising him before we go into prayer. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Look, there's a way to pray to him. There's a way that seemeth right to man in prayer. Oh, well, I'm going to ask the Lord for this. I'm going to ask the Lord for that. I'm going to ask the Lord for this. I'm going to ask the Lord for that. This is what I wanted, Lord. This is the way I want it. This is the wife that I want. This is the husband that I want. Before you start doing all that, where was God's thanks at? Where was God's praise? Where was God's adoration? Where was it? Because they sure didn't hear it. In humbling ourselves, we must sometimes in prayer wait and listen for the voice of the Lord. This is the power of prayer, y'all. We must sit and wait to listen to the voice of the Lord. Because sometimes the Lord doesn't just, look, we have this Bible to read from. And most times the Lord speaks to us through the Word of God, but sometimes he comes in an audible voice, and he'll tell us what to do. You don't believe me? He called Adam in an audible voice. He said, Adam, where art thou? Amen. He called Saul, which was his name was changed to Paul. Saul, why persecutest thou me? He called them out. He called them by name. And that's why we need to just sit sometimes in prayer. That's why I said lay prostrated before the Lord. After we pray, just sit in a quiet place and see what the Lord has to say. What does he want you to do? Because sometimes we get the answers that way. Amen. Now, I'm going to go to our last scripture of this lesson, or of this topic, whatever way you want to call it. I said before we got started, I said I was going to answer the question about praying for our leaders. Should we pray for our leaders? Whether they're right or wrong, should we pray for our political leaders, our spiritual leaders? Should we pray for them? Whether they're in the pulpit preaching the word of God and they stub on our toes a little bit and they make us mad a little bit because we don't want to hear them, our flesh just got poked. Or our natural leaders, the ones that we didn't vote for. The ones that we did not vote for. Should we pray for them? Amen. And so we have to pray for our leaders. Well, you might say, well, that doesn't tell me anything. You're just saying we should just pray for our leaders. Well, 1 Timothy verses 1 and 2. We're going to go there real quick, and then we're going to wrap up here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And these are the words of the Lord. And this will give you the answer. Should we pray for President Donald Trump, whether you voted for him or whether you didn't? This is what it says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. There goes your answer. There goes the answer right there. Yes, whether you like Donald Trump, whether you don't like him, whether you like Biden, whether you don't like Biden, whether you liked Obama, whether you didn't like Obama, we are to pray for the people in authority. Whether our pastor stubs on our toes in the word, we need to pray for them. We need to pray. Man should always pray. And I read it in verse number 1. And I'll read it one more time. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So that means we should pray for any and everybody, enemies, the people you like, the people you don't like, the people that are doing you wrong on your job, pray for them. See, that brought me to a whole new subject. because that wasn't even in there. But we should pray. We should pray without ceasing. This is the power of prayer, and this is what it gets. It brings things to light. It breaks yokes. It tears down barriers. It breaks down burdens. It makes burdens light. The power of prayer is what we need in today's society. Like I said before, some of this stuff could clear. Some of this stuff would be gone by the power of prayer if we prayed more. It's understanding that, hey, well, my prayers are not being heard because I'm not getting any answers. Keep praying. Keep praying. That's all we can do. That's all we can do is pray. That's all we can do as far as now and forever. Until the day of the Lord comes, we have to pray. We must make prayer a lifestyle if we're going to make it to heaven. You cannot make it to heaven without praying. In Jesus' name. I pray that this episode has blessed you on today, and I pray that this topic has blessed you on today. I want to make an announcement real quick before we get ready to leave on today. I never, ever want to, I want to be transparent with our radio audience, and I really, really like to be honest with you all. I'm asking for you all's prayers since we just got done talking about the power of prayer. It's very funny. I covered y'all's prayers today because I'm not going to go into deep detail about it, but I myself am being faced with some situations, and I'm covering y'all's prayers on today. My life has been, as well as everybody else, everybody goes through something, but I'm covering y'all's prayers because I need an answer from the Lord on some things. So I pray that you have a very, very blessed week and a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. And as it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to make it to heaven. This is the only way biblically to see the Lord's face in peace. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week. Continue, as I say in every show, continue to wear your mask, continue to be sanitize your hands, wash your hands, and all that other good stuff until this thing passes, because this thing is very, very real. And pray for our election. We know we saw the debate, in Jesus' name. Just pray that the Lord's will be done in everything that's said and done, in Jesus' name, going along with November. So we continue to pray. As we continue to pray for you all, in Jesus' name, God bless you. And if you do not hear my voice next Saturday, if you do not hear my voice, should the Lord come before next Saturday, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.